You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three. I'm your host, Dave Hodges, and you're listening to the Common Sense Show. And we're the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And as a reminder, don't forget, those of you who wanted me to do a daily show, well, I'm kind of doing a daily show because I do 6 to 7 podcasts every single day. I couldn't commit to the rigor of an absolute got to be here at this time kind of schedule. But I'm basically doing more than a show, one show, and I'm doing them all week long. And I have great guests, Mike Adams, ex-NSA agent Vance Davis, Paul Martin. And you go down the list. I'm interviewing a lot of people. And also I'll give you my 3 or 4 minute take on a topic. The Common Sense Show on YouTube. Go up there, subscribe for us. Also, don't forget to like us once in a while because we like you. So, anyway, my thanks to our first two guests, Doug Hagman, and you probably have never heard me as quiet in an interview as I was with Doug because he was naming names and kicking butt on the Pizzagate people. And, folks, do you realize he's the only guy out there who's naming the names he's naming? Everyone else are generalities, and I'm not putting anyone's work down, but you got real stuff right here from Doug Hagman. So my thanks to Doug. My thanks also go out to Robert Kudla in his very calm, common-sense approach to the economics and how he feels that Donald Trump is being set up by the left to take a bit of a fall for the blame that's coming for things he had nothing to do with creating. And so our thanks to Robert Kudla of TradeGenius.co. And this hour, not going to disappoint you at all. We're going to have kind of an uplifting hour, but we're going to start out talking about Donald Trump and how he's doing. And our guest this hour is Gary Haven. And I call him the hero of Haiti for good reason, because this man put his money where his mouth is and invested tens of millions of dollars into saving lives in Haiti. And I kept seeing the reports of Gary and Joe Biggs, and I interviewed Gary a couple times when he was down there, and risking his life to save lives. And righting the wrongs of the Clinton Foundation, who stole $2 billion in relief money. And he's also, you might know him, remember him as the producer of Amerigeddon. And what a blockbuster movie that was. We were proud to be part of that effort. We still have, if you haven't seen the movie, we still have the ad for it up on the Common Sense Show right in the center. Go there, click it on. It's good stuff. Really good stuff. And juxtaposition, Alex Jones plays a bad guy. I thought that was so funny. Anyway, Armageddon up there, or Amerigeddon, I should say, up there on thecommonsenseshow.com. So here to talk to us about his exploits is Gary Haven. Gary, thanks for joining us, my friend.
Oh, thanks, Dave. I really am glad to be here. And I want to thank you for the tremendous work ethic. I don't know how you have time to produce so many quality articles on so many relevant topics. I got to spend about 30 minutes a day just to read and watch everything you produce. You're keeping me pretty busy, man.
Somebody better watch me. Keep me in line. I'll tell you what the secret is. I don't even think of it. You know, when I was an athlete and I was in good shape, I was proud of what I could do. Now that I'm trying to work hard and serve our country, I don't look at it that way, because it's the power of God that inhabits someone that allows you to reach beyond your grasp, and that's really what I attribute to anything I do of any quality, anything I do with any volume. It comes from the Lord, and He inspires me, He lifts me up, He gives me little words of knowledge. Dave, talk about this today, and that's where I draw from, Gary.
You know, that is so obvious in your work, because it's so insightful, so relevant. and you're presenting information in so many areas that that are significant in our time right now, and boldly doing so. And you know, I can see Jesus' courage and wisdom really flowing through you, and you're a willing vessel, and I'm grateful for that, and I know many Americans are as well.
Well, I thank you, but really all the credit goes to the Lord, and it takes all of our efforts together, you and me and my guests that were on the show tonight, Steve Quayle, you know, Bob Griswold, Paul Martin, all my good friends, Paul Preston, all the great people at Red State Radio that we're on right now. It takes all of us, because we're in the fight of our lives against the most evil form of entities that you could ever think of. I mean, who's really behind Hillary? Who's really behind Bill? Satan. That's really what we're battling against.
Yeah, you know, people need to understand that this isn't religion. You know, this is spiritual warfare, and the battle is not physical. It's spiritual, and it's in high places, and that's what's really going on right now. And you know, I'm a CEO, former CEO of a 10th largest franchise company in the world. My feet are pretty solid on the ground, but I recognize this from my Bible. Clearly, there's an enemy that pursues this planet, pursues our souls, and that's the battle we're fighting right now. And yes, you know, we've been able to make a difference. Getting Donald Trump elected, you know, Brandon Smith is a prolific writer for Alt-Market website, and he's really
we had him on last week. Yeah, absolutely brilliant, great writer.
Yeah, you know, I love his stuff, but I got to tell you, he thinks that Donald Trump was part of the design that the elite allowed him to be elected so that they could bring the financial downfall at his feet and blame it on the conservatives. And, you know, and as impressed as I am with him, I don't think they're that smart. I think Trump legitimately won. I think God chose him to give us a reprieve, and I think the elite are stunned. They're shocked. Now they're regrouping and trying to make the best of the situation, which very well may mean an economic downfall at his feet. But I think they would have much rather had Hillary and continued their march. If for not any other reason, they have a lot of other things they want to do to set this up before they pull the rug out from under it. So it's interesting you had Brandon on there. Really love his stuff, but I think he is a little more convinced this was all by design by the elites. And I think I part company with that. What do you think?
You know, we've wondered that out loud. Ted Brewer and I talked about this once, maybe August, September, and we said the same thing. We said, could it be possible? And we said, we think it could be possible, but our collective judgment together, we said, we think Donald Trump's for real. Well, has he continued to take more hits? And you can see the effects on his wife, the First Lady. You can read it in her body language. This has been overwhelming for her and for members of their family, and they've suffered tremendously since Donald's become the president. I mean, his daughter's lost her clothing line. It just goes on and on. You don't fake that. That's not part of an act. Every time Donald turns around, CNN's telling another lie about him. So, no, I think he's the real deal.
Yeah, I agree. Did you and Brendan discuss that when he was on your program?
Not really. We kind of locked horns a little bit on some Trump initiatives and what he was trying to do. And it was a gentleman's disagreement or agreement to disagree on a couple of things. But effectively, I agreed with a lot of things he said about the economy. But, you know, in our business, and I've kind of resigned myself to this, we don't have to march 100% in lockstep. We have to keep God at the center, and we have to keep the Constitution as our goal for our government. And if we do that, the rest of the details will work themselves out.
Yeah, that's well said. So Trump is doing really, really well. He's, you know, I think it was the second thing he did was reverse the Mexico City policy. It stopped the use of federal dollars to fund abortion services in foreign countries. It was the second thing that Obama reversed so that our tax dollars would fund abortion in foreign countries. So Trump came right out of the gate with that. And, of course, he's doing all of these things to try to get the taxes reduced, getting our border secured, and just so many things. I'm so excited. If I give him a 90%, it's because I'm a little perplexed at some of his appointments, some of the Goldman Sachs appointments, for example. How do you feel about that?
I agree with you entirely. Time will tell. I think I look at it like this, if I were to make a guess. Gary, I think he's coalition building, and he didn't want to stack everything from the right, so he'd be representative of more people and be a little bit more of a centrist. But I want Donald Trump to be Donald Trump. I don't want him to be a compromised president. I want him to do exactly what he said, and for the most part he is. His appointment of Betsy DeVos bothers me with regard to the education secretary. Because charter schools are UN creations. They promote international baccalaureate, which is nothing but pure globalism and anti-American sentiment. So, no, I'm not in favor of her one iota.
Well, she has taken a stand against Common Core. And right now that's among the most serious of issues. And she's publicly said that she's going to move away from the Common Core curriculum, which is globalist to the core. So there's some hope there. That
Gary, I think the canary in the mine with Betsy DeVos, I think the canary in the mine for her will be if she tries to bring international baccalaureate programs to public schools in greater number. I want nothing to do with those IB programs. They de-emphasize American exemplarance. We were at one time unquestionably the greatest nation on the face of the earth in almost every measure. We've stumbled. We have a chance to get it back now with this president. We don't need an education secretary undermining the minds of our young. We need to think great. We need to think we're champions. We're winning the Super Bowl. We don't need educators who tell us we're like everyone else across the planet, like hell we are.
Yeah, and unfortunately, if you look at the results of our education system right now, I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but we're 35th in reading and 30th in math, and it's pretty abysmal. You know, what they really need to do, of course, is just shut the education department down and give it back to the states.
Yes.
And, of course, you don't want to live in California if that happens, but education certainly should be at a state level, not a federal level.
I would agree. Arizona and Mississippi aren't far behind either. I'll tell you that. I live here in Arizona and speak from experience. Our schools are among the worst in the country, and I mean worst. Horrible. Horrible. And so I agree, but the Federal Department of Education is wholly unconstitutional. It should never have been a department that was created. It's a power reserved for the states. And I totally agree with you. It was a violation of the 10th Amendment to ever let that happen. But Betsy DeVos, watch out. I'm telling you, wolf in sheep's clothing, Gary. She can say I'm against Common Core, but here comes international baccalaureate, which will be more damaging than Common Core.
Yeah. Well, Rex Tillerson, I spoke to you on the phone the other day and shared something I knew about him. A friend of a friend knows him very well. And he is a strong evangelical Christian and very outspoken about it. It's interesting, I Googled him the other day just to try to get some facts and some background information, and couldn't see anything on it. But one of his close friends, who was the ExxonMobil chief of Indonesia, and of course Rex was the ExxonMobil chief of Yemen at the time, they know each other well. And Rex is a committed Christian, and that was good news, because I think his globalism days were part of a compromise so he could run ExxonMobil, but he was anti-globalist prior to those days. So I think he may be a good guy.
You know, I was opposed again when he was appointed, and I was thinking, Donald, what are you doing? But I agree with what you're saying. I'm seeing evidence of things he's speaking out on. First of all, he's cleaning house in the State Department, which is about as communist as you can get. So he wins my approval there. But he is for borders. He's for making sure we know who's coming into the country. He's not going to lay in bed with the UN for every international globalist program. And he's shown that. So he's winning me over. I agree with you on that.
I tell you, the State Department is a mess, and it is so powerful. You know, I shared something else with you on the phone. I haven't said it publicly, but I'll go ahead and say it on your program. I'm on a very short list for the ambassadorship to Haiti. And when I say short list, basically no one else is stupid enough to want the job. and I'm willing to do it for free on top of everything else. But I've gotten my name in the hat through some very influential people, Raj Priebus and Kellyanne Conway. And Senator Rand Paul is my sponsor on the project.
Wow.
Although Omarosa, who went to the inauguration of the new Haiti president on Tuesday, I heard wanted the job, but Trump turned her down on it. So I might become part of that State Department. And I tell you what, I would be an extremely reliable ally for President Trump if I get that job.
Yeah, you'll have to have me down there to do basketball clinics and all that good stuff. And I'm saying that kind of tongue-in-cheek because my coaching days are behind me. But I think that's just terrific. I mean, look at what you did for Haiti. In adverse circumstances, when you were worried about being overwhelmed by crowds and so forth, and you were going against the stream against Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation, you had everything stacked against you. And yet you and with the help of people like Joe Biggs, were able to persevere and save a lot of lives. I know there's a lot of work to still be done, but I mean, there'd be a lot of people right now that wouldn't be living and breathing there if it wasn't for you.
You know, it was one of the most exciting periods of time. My wife and I went there for 6 weeks and lived in Haiti, based out of Port-au-Prince, and I brought three aircraft. And we were the only air evac out of two of the major cities. The U.N. helicopters wouldn't carry wounded. The U.S. helicopters, U.S. military wouldn't. So it was left on us. People were brought to the runway near death. And if we didn't put them on our aircraft and fly them to the hospital in Port-au-Prince, many of them would have died. And, you know, we were flying food and doctors out to these remote areas, and the planes were empty. So we were stacking litters of people side by side on the aircraft to get them back in to get them care. These are people that were injured during the Hurricane Matthew, and we flew dozens and dozens of people and were able to bring food to thousands of people that had everything destroyed. And bring doctors and nurses and medical supplies. And for 6 weeks, you get up at daylight and call today at dark and just look at it, what you were able to do that day. If we weren't there, it would not have been done. It was absolutely extraordinary. You know, Joe Biggs from InfoWars, we brought them. We brought them primarily because there was a news blackout in Haiti. It was just 2 weeks before the election, and the Clinton Foundation was highly exposed for their theft because there was no evidence of the $2 billion the Clintons had collected for Haiti serving the people that were there. And so the media, in my opinion, stayed away because that question would have come up. And so InfoWars sent a team in, and they spent 4 or 5 days with us, and we were able to explain to the American people the disaster that occurred and the help that was needed. But also, 2 weeks before the election, we were able to expose Hillary as the thieving monster that she is.
Yes.
These are little children, the poorest in our hemisphere, that had no homes and no food, when the Clintons had pocketed allegedly $2 billion that never went to the people. And so we were able to get the story out. In fact, my Hillary rant went viral, and over a million people watched it. And I got to think that, you know, the 10,000 votes that Trump got in Pennsylvania, the 10,000 he got in Michigan to win, I got to think that some number of those people had to watch the truth about Hillary Clinton and her theft from the poorest of the poor in our part of the world. So we were able to make a difference in a whole lot of ways, not just saving lives, but getting Trump in as president, who hopefully can take this reprieve and bring us back our sovereignty, our Constitution, and truth. So I'm hopeful for all that.
You know what? It's almost sad that for Donald Trump to fulfill his mission, all that has to happen is for this nation by majority turn back to God. If we do that, a veil of protection will be put over Donald Trump. We will have momentum like we've never seen before, and we could see phenomenal changes within our country. But I believe it starts with having the right faith and the right attitude. And instead of, what's in it for me, 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 I'm so glad Donald's in, I get to I, we need to serve the Almighty in this, and everything else will fall into place. And what I think is missing here in this discussion about, isn't Trump wonderful and look at how many great things he's done for the people in 3 weeks, and I agree, but we're missing the spiritual element here. There is a spiritual force at work. Donald Trump should never have been elected. He should never have gotten through the primary. Against all odds, Donald Trump is now the leader of this country, and we, the American people, can't blow this opportunity because I'm afraid we won't get another one.
Yes, I think this is a reprieve. I know a lot of people yes. feel that way. You know, God's signature on so many things is when the preposterous happens, and it's preposterous that Donald Trump could beat the establishment, the mainstream media, the establishment Republicans that were opposed to him. He overcame all of that, and I believe that's how God likes things, because you have to give credit then the only place that it's left, and that it was God's will that this would happen. You know, I attended the inauguration, and on Saturday morning they had the official prayer service at the National Cathedral. It was really neat. One of my close friends, Romero Pena, who's a pastor from Waco, was one of the speakers, and his job was to say the Lord's Prayer, and he invited the entire nation to say the Lord's Prayer with him in that event. And Donald Trump and his family was sitting about 15 rows in front of me, so I got to see them come in and see them in a solemn, reverent pose. And I feel that. Yeah, you know, it's kind of neat. This is the kind of thing, God's not going to send a traditional Baptist preacher that's holier than thou to go in and lead, to clean the swamp, right? Drain the swamp.
Right.
He's going to send somebody rough around the edges, crude, tough as nails to go do that battle. You know, King David was much like that. You know, he had a wadi complexion, and he was certainly irreverent in so many ways. But that's unfortunately the kind of leader we need right now. The world is not a very friendly place, and you need somebody that's a tough SOB. And Trump certainly fits that bill.
He certainly does, and he is the right man at the right time. You know who I also am impressed with? We're talking about his cabinet. Jeff Sessions. I don't think there's a more decent person he could have appointed, but Jeff Sessions will not take crap from the left. He will not do what Loretta Lynch did. but Jeff Sessions will be a great defender of our Constitution. Don't you agree?
Yes, and you're right about that. If we can just restore our Constitution and a rule of law in this country, and Jeff Sessions is just the kind of person that can do it. And, of course, you know he's the right guy when 48 Democrat senators voted against him when he was one of them. You know, you have that decorum in the Senate where they usually vote for each other, even if they're across the party lines. And 48 of them thought that he wasn't qualified to, for this job. And, of course, that's the other thing. This battle going on right now to try to undermine anything President Trump would do is extraordinary. And, you know, if people are concerned, all of us should be, that the president is going to be able to get anything done, that he's going to be able to really stand against this opposition. But he's so gifted at turning it around on them and making them look like fake news, making them look like fools. And that's an extraordinary gift. And if he had not acquired that gift at some point over his life experiences, he wouldn't be where he's at today, and there certainly wouldn't be any hope. But he's so gifted at it. And all of us need to follow his lead. You know, I said to you 6 months ago when he was running that he'd given us permission to speak about politically incorrect things. And if we need to take advantage of that window of opportunity. All of us need to be speaking boldly and get over our fear of being ridiculed. We need to speak the truth. We need to do it boldly and start telling our friends and family members the obvious, which is this country can only stand if we have Constitution and rule of law. It can only stand if we're getting our truth. You know, Thomas Jefferson said that if he had to choose between a government or a media, he'd choose the media, and that the media was the watchdogs of democracy. And, of course, the media today are the lapdogs. And so if we can expose the media for the vile, corrupt, globalist enemies that they are, they're so exposed right now, and the American people are waking up. You know, globalism, if you and I were having a conversation about globalism a year ago, it was still in the realm of conspiracy theory. Well, today, everybody knows that Hillary claimed to be the globalist candidate. And Trump claimed to be the nationalist candidate. So it's now part of our vernacular. It's now part of the public speech. And so we need to take advantage of that. And if we do, more people will wake up, because it's so obvious right now that there are a group of people that want to control us, and they want to pursue absolute control through globalism, a global economic system, and it's just the vernacular now. So we've got to take advantage of this, and this is where things that you're doing, or Steve Quayle or Alex Jones, is so important right now. We have an audience that's waking, and we've got to take advantage of it.
Well, we really do, and you're right. We all need to work together. We could have our minor differences, but we need to work together, because if we had been a divided entity, and I'm speaking about the independent media, I don't think Donald Trump would have got elected. And I'm not trying to take credit here for the Common Sense Show, Gary, don't mishear me, but I'm saying across the board, Mike Adams, myself, Paul Preston, we were so united about what had to happen to save this country that we put everything on hold that was important to us. And it was all about getting Donald Trump elected. And to do that, we had to vilify Hillary and build up Donald at the same time. And the independent media did its job. But we can't go back to sleep. That's my biggest worry. Are we going to go back to sleep because we trust Donald Trump to do everything?
Yeah. He's just opened the door for us. We all have to go through now. and take responsibility for the influence that each of us can have. And we need to be informed. We need to deal with facts. And the facts are so plentiful now that our country was stolen. And Donald Trump has given us an opportunity to take our country back. Yeah, you know, I'm friends with Alex Jones, and within 2 days of Trump's election, he called Alex to thank him personally. And I'm friends with the evangelist Jim Baker. I was on his program a lot this year, and I was actually the one to kind of teach Jim Baker that Trump was the real deal, and that the elite were going to try to hold on to power, and he called Jim Baker within 2 weeks of being elected and thanked him for his support. So Trump's aware of how important our voices are out there, and it's just an opportunity. It's just begun right now, particularly with, you know, the president has had the State Department attacking. He's had the CIA come after him over the silly Russian influence nonsense. Right. And he's very, very wisely chosen his battles and stood his ground and articulated his message. And it sometimes it seems like they're overwhelming him. But when you've got the truth on your side, the truth has a way of prevailing. And I see him actually making headway against these forces that would come against him. And I tell you, I'm actually pretty doggone excited right now.
Yeah, that makes two of us, and I can hear it in your voice. There is one thing. Yeah, let me tell you, I did a podcast that's coming out in the morning, and the title's a little deceptive, Gary. It says, "Is Donald Trump a neocon?" And it's premised on the notion of the criticism that he's getting for joining NATO and continuing to fortify the border with Russia with U.S. troops and also supporting NATO troops. And people are saying, look, he's going against what he said. Peace with Putin in Russia and peace and all that. Well, what's Putin doing? They announced yesterday that they're going to use Iranian airspace for their operations in Syria. In other words, Russia's expanding its beachhead through the Middle East. At a time, when if he were sincere about having peace with the United States, he wouldn't even think of doing that. And I think Trump needs to call him on his bluff. Trump needs to basically say to him, we'll talk peace, but if you continue what we're doing, we're going to get ready for the inevitable. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, that's another topic that, much like the bankers Trump has chosen to be on his cabinet, that you've got to really think about a strategy. For example, you know, if you really look at what Putin's done, Putin's a nationalist as well, and he has done his best to protect his country and his borders. Putin has almost eliminated the debt of Russia that had built up under his predecessors. So Trump has done so many things to protect his country from, you know, from being vulnerable to really to the globalists. And the American leadership that was pursuing American hegemony in the world, American empire. So Trump's really done a good job for his people. And, of course, he had interest in Syria, he had a naval base in the Mediterranean. He had the threat of terrorists that were coming in from Chechnya and coming from the Middle East. And so he was really looking out for himself in an honorable way. You know, Donald Trump the other day in an interview with O'Reilly said that O'Reilly stated that Putin was a killer. And Trump's response was very, very revealing. his response basically was, well, he's not the only one in the world
that's
killed people. And we're not necessarily angels or without flaws, for his exact words. That was a very, very interesting statement. I think what he's doing with Putin right now is that he's got to be really careful to not be vulnerable to the left. You know, the left are trying to charge him with Maxine Waters, with conspiring with, well, they all are conspiring with Putin, and so he's got to tread very, very carefully. And I think what he's going to do, and by the way, he's already partnered with Putin in Syria, and gone on the attack against ISIS. I think the second day after he was sworn in, they captured the leader of ISIS in Syria. So I think what he's doing is just very strategic, and I think he's probably going to end up sitting down with Putin, and they're going to agree to terms and how we treat each other. And if Putin doesn't have to be afraid that that there's an American elite that is pursuing a globalist agenda, and Trump certainly stands for that now. He's shown himself to not aspire to a world empire. And I think they're going to, in the right time frame, where Trump is not vulnerable, they're going to agree to calm this thing down and even work together where we have common interests. And, but, you know, we've been bellicose with China right now, and, you know, telling them their ships won't be able to service their islands in the China Sea. Those are pretty strong words. So there is a certain amount of bellicosity in that that's very concerning to me. But I think Trump is going to strategically move away from the American policy of imperialism, which has destroyed Iraq and Syria and Libya and other countries. And when Putin sees that and is clearly understands that, they're going to reach a great agreement. I think they're going to become good friends. And this threat of World War III that Obama took us right up to the brink. He was fomenting World War III with Russia up to the day that he left office. And the American people just didn't understand this. And of course, the American media was not telling the story. But that was a very frightening time for those of us that were paying attention.
Well, I was writing about it every day, Gary, basically saying that Congress needed to move to start impeachment proceedings against Obama. I didn't think anything would happen, but I thought it might slow him down. I thought he was going to get us in a war before the inauguration. I would have bet even money on it, and for some reason, you know, Putin saw the light and said, okay, better days are ahead, and I got a little more tolerance on this, and he gave America some rope. So, but we got the Iran problem, though, Gary, and that really bothers me. Iran, if they had their way, we'd all be dead. All of Israel would be dead. And Russia's protecting them. And Russia seems like they're enabling Iran to act out against its neighbors. What do we do about Iran? I mean, what are Trump's options here?
That's a tough one. Let me offer an opposing viewpoint. If you look at Iran and their rhetoric, and you look at North Korea and Kim Jong-un's rhetoric, that's a survival strategy that they have been using for years. It allows them to receive financial benefits by literally getting bribes to keep them under control. And you know, Iran is a country that it's a large country, a large population. It has its own resources. It's ruled by some you know, some crude and evil people, and you know, I know about bringing in the Mahdi and you know their aspirations to do that, But I think we have to be careful not to get sucked into an unwinnable situation with Iran. I think we need to cool that off for a little while. And the fact that they've probably have nuclear weapons. You know what? If they don't have them, they're going to get them. They're going to get them from North Korea. They might even get them from Russia. It's going to happen. So we just have to be very, very careful in our approach to them. And, you know, with all of the neocons that are still influencing Trump, and your original question was, do I think he's a neocon? That's one of the biggest questions of all. When we ask, is he the real deal? You know, the neocons, and for a lot of people, they don't know the definition of that word. What it means is it's the people that are tied to the military-industrial complex, the ones that profit from war, that pursue war. And part of them pursued war because they're aspirations for American imperialism. A lot of it's just profit. But the neocons are very concerning right now because there's a lot of them that are surrounding Trump. You know, he's pretty much gotten rid of most of the establishment. He's gotten rid of a lot of the bad players in the State Department, these other places. But the neocons are a great risk to us right now. If they continue to influence him, that Iran needs immediate attention, and even to the point of attacking them in some way, it's a very dangerous thing to do right now. Trump needs to calm down, get rid of the neocons, so that he can make a thoughtful plan about how to deal with the with these mullahs in Iran, and. In other words, count to 10 before he does anything and get those people out of the room that are all war all the time. I think they're a greater danger to America than Iran ever would be. There are just too many people in this country that like the idea of war. And they certainly have taken us to so many of them. We've been in constant war now for, since the year 17 years.
Yes.
That's nuts. And what have we gained for it? We spent $5 trillion. We've stirred up a hornet's nest with these terrorists from the Middle East who, you know, I hate to say it, but they've got every right to hate us. You know, you had Obama bombing weddings every Tuesday with his drones for 8 years and proud of it. We really need to calm down and catch our breath right now and make sure that these neocons are not influencing decisions that President Trump is making.
I think that's really well said. Well, Gary, before we move to close, I want to give you a chance to talk about Haiti a little bit more. And first of all, let me ask just a logistics question. Do you have any sense of a time frame on when you'll know one way or the other?
Well, normally, I have a good friend that's a former U.S. ambassador, and he's kind of brought me up to speed on the process. Normally, it's not really quick. You know, they've got, I think it's 152 countries they have to send ambassadors to. But Trump chose Haiti as the number two country that he talked about during the election process. Russia was the first one. And he has publicly said that he wants to do away with the American influence in the election process in Haiti because the Clintons had corrupted the process. He's acknowledged that child trafficking and organ trafficking is going on in Haiti, and he wants to put a stop to that. And this is where I come in. I've demonstrated that I have no fear of the Clintons. I think you would agree with
that. Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, this situation calls for somebody that's fearless and that it also is, you know, run a major international company and understands the, you know, the all the aspects of that and what it means. Somebody that's a good negotiator and also somebody that's been in the country for 7 years now working to try to make the place livable for their citizens. And so I'm really the only person I can think of that has all of those qualifications. You know, I've spent millions of my own dollars to try to feed the poor and get them health care and improve the infrastructure. And so because he has prioritized Haiti, it may happen in the next month or two. You know, I don't. I know that he knows who I am and what my interests are, and that that the need in Haiti is going to be a special circumstance for somebody uniquely qualified. I mentioned that Amorosa. He sent her last week to, you know, the girl on the Apprentice, who was voted the most hated person on reality TV. And unfortunately, she has ties to the Clinton Foundation. And he fortunately told her that she could not be the Haiti ambassador. So she's the only other person I know that actually asked for the job. But I think I am more likely to go there and get the things done that are consistent with Donald Trump's values and goals. And so I'm kind of, you know, I've got my senators involved and Rance Priebus and Kellyanne and the National Right to Life organization is backing me. So now I have to sit and wait, and that's hard for me to do, but that's what I'm doing.
That is, yeah, I hear you. And waiting is the hardest part when you want that job. If you get that job, Gary, I'm going to bring my computer and my Skype, because I've got in-studio equipment that you can't move. But I'm going to come down there, and we're going to do a live show from Haiti.
That'd be great. And we can tell the truth about what's really going on there, and been going on there. You know, there's some evidence that the Clinton Foundation was involved in child sex trafficking.
Oh, and not some. I printed it today, mate, and I don't know if you got a chance to check this out yet. I also mentioned Haiti for Oregon and child sex trafficking today.
Yep.
Today. So
I thought I read everything.
Like mine, my friend. Like mine.
Well, you know, when I really stuck my neck out when I outed the Clintons 2 weeks before the election and it went viral. So I thought when she lost that I could breathe a little easier. But within a week of the election, there was a young woman in Haiti who was investigating the Clinton Foundation and child sex trafficking, and she was suicided. And so I thought, well, maybe I'm being a little optimistic now. I still need to watch my back. But that's how vulnerable they are there. I believe it killed a young woman that was hot on their trail even after she lost the election. These are nasty people, Dave. These are demonic Satanists who I'm glad you had Doug Hagman on. I know Doug, and he is fearlessly leading the exposure of child sex trafficking that's been going on, particularly in the hierarchy of our government, in the hierarchy of our corporate world. And I believe that the next thing Trump's going to reveal is he's going to expose the vile high levels of child sex trafficking that's been going on in this country. And it's going to shock the American people into waking up. Even some of these leftists that are stupidly trying to maintain you know, this ridiculous globalism and assault on our culture are going to see this child sex trafficking and think, wait a minute, is this something that I want to be associated with? So yeah, I think that's the next big topic. I bet you agree with that, don't you?
I hope. Yeah, you know, I'm so impatient right now. I can picture Hillary Clinton in stripes. I want her out of the way. I know she's guilty of sin with Pizzagate. And forget Pizzagate. Child sex trafficking. I've known they've done it since the Menean cartel that came out of Arkansas. Gary, I've known this stuff for years. And it's time that we had someone give them their just desserts. But I will tell you this. We need to pray for the safety of Donald Trump. Because when he goes after the Pizzagate people in earnest, they have shown they have no compunction and they'll kill anybody.
Yeah, he's a lot more threatening to them than President John F. Kennedy was, and there was no hesitation to take Kennedy out.
Yeah, I'm going to leave Pence out of this discussion. This is too upbeat. This is too good. Well, look, I hope they come to a... I'm just going to let that be the water under the bridge and let it go. Shut up, Dave. Anyway, I'm so upbeat for this country. You know, the judge's ruling against the temporary ban on the seven-country immigration is just a bump in the road. Donald Trump has on the run. He's kicking butt and taking names, and they're all scared of him. It's incredible what he's done in just 3 weeks. They're all intimidated. The corporations are canceling their overseas deals. That's going to keep jobs here in America. I could go on and on. It's incredible what we're seeing, Gary.
I don't know if a bad thing he's done yet. You know, he's going to come back in file probably next day or two. I'm just assuming this. A total ban of people coming into this country, so that this angle, by the way, it's not a legal angle, it's nothing other than an opinion from these judges. But when he just has a total ban, then there's no bigotry involved, and I don't think they're going to be able to find the legal loophole to shut that down, because the president clearly has the power to determine certainly who's coming in this country. But if they won't let him have that power, then nobody needs to come in this country for a period of time while he sorts out the vetting. So I suspect that he's going to do something like that this week, and they're going to have trouble shutting that down.
I totally agree. Gary, we're out of time, my friend, and look, I hope, you know, I'm going to do wishful thinking here. I'm your second phone call after you get the nod to be the ambassador. I know you're going to call your wife first.
You got it.
But Dave Hodges is going to be waiting by the phone for Gary Haven to call him and say, hey, I'm doing it. And then when you're all settled down there, the Common Sense Show is going to the Caribbean, and we're going to do our first international broadcast.
You got it.
On that note, we got to go. Gary, thanks so much, my friend. We're out of time. To everybody else, we'll be back next week with a great show. Gary Haven, really good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you. Good day.